If you can turn with me, please, in God's Word to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, again, taking the same theme today. For those maybe going through times of trial, times of burden, and as we said this morning, you're either going into a trial, going through a trial, or coming out of a trial. We're in one of those three. And so the good thing to note, if you're not in a trial right now, you're at that stage where you're not in a trial, then we ought to learn these lessons. Because then when we do go through the trial, we can always come back to God's Word and say, you know what, Lord, you taught me something in your Word on that Sunday, and it's for this reason. It's for such an occasion as this. Every time we read the Bible, every time we come to God's house, God is preparing us for something, whether it's doctrinally, where you learn something, a truth about Christ. You may meet some heretic down the road who will blasphemously say something. Well, you can say, well, actually, hold on a second. We've just learned from God's Word, and you tell them what you've learned. Or a trial, whatever that may be. But we're always learning. God is always teaching us. And that's why it's important to be in the house of God. Psalm 61, verses 1 through verse 8. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows, and thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which shall preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. To the chief musician upon Neginath, a psalm of David. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just unite together in prayer and still our hearts at the throne of grace. Our Heavenly Father, eternal God, we come before thee just now. And O God, we thank thee for thy word. And, O God, thy word is the joy and rejoicing of our heart. We rejoice, Lord, for the truth that is revealed in thy word, not only doctrinally, because thy word is about thyself. Thy word is a revelation of thyself through thy beloved Son. But, O God, also practically, what we are to do with thy word, how we can apply it even to our lives. And, O Lord, we pray even today, if there be some troubled, some perplexed, some overwhelmed, Lord, we ask of thee, that thou wilt hear our cry, that thou wilt be attentive unto our prayer, and when our heart is overwhelmed, thou wilt lead us even to our blessed Saviour, where we can hide in him. Answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. You will know as you read many of the Psalms that not all of them, but many of them are penned by David. And as you read those Psalms that are penned by David, as we have read this afternoon, we learn that David is a man of prayer. We get a different idea of all the situations and circumstances that he finds himself, that he begins to pray to God. Such circumstances were often in the forms of trial and trouble. And in such times of trial and trouble, when his heart was overwhelmed, David then prayed and recorded these prayers. Now, I was thinking the other day, people always think of great men of God, what it would have been like to hear so and so pray. And while we don't hear their voice, we do have some of their words. Now, there are, in our generation, men like Dr. Paisley and other men who you can have, you listen to their prayers as they were recorded in audio form. But men like Charles Spurgeon and others, people say what it would have been like to hear Charles Spurgeon. You can buy books today. I have one I read often. It's called the Pulpit Prayers of Charles Spurgeon. And what it was, whenever Spurgeon prayed, the prayers would have been long. And there would have been people in the congregation actually would have been writing down Spurgeon's prayer. Because the whole point of praying, as we said last week, prayer is to lead people into worship to God. And by praying, you should learn from others in praying. And so people learn to pray by listening to Spurgeon and by reading his prayers, how he prayed. But we will never learn how, in a sense, what Spurgeon sounded like, but we can read his words. And same in the Bible, what did the Apostle Paul pray like? Or as we come to David. But what we have recorded in Scripture are their prayers. And so you can read the prayers of David in the Bible. And then that's how you learn to pray. So whenever you're coming to this Psalm 61, you can incorporate this language in your prayer. You can pray, Lord, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. That is praying. And therefore use such language in your prayer. And that will help you. And so the whole point I'm making is this. David, in this Psalm 61, as he begins to pray and as his prayer is recorded, you can see by the sense of the words, David is in a time of trouble. This is a perplexing time. It's a heartbreak. Now, while we do not know many of the backgrounds to which the Psalms were written, we can get a sense of the words, but they can apply to different situations. And so many think or hold that this Psalm 61 was written at a time of David's heartbreak when his son Absalom rebelled against him. And therefore David was exiled from Jerusalem. And so the background to that, if you hold to that or agree with that, as others do, some maybe have different opinions, there's nothing wrong with that. But I will go with this thought of Absalom's rebellion. In 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 18, we learn that Absalom, his son, he has conspired against David, his own father. And Absalom wants his father's throne. And so to do this, Absalom needed a following. It's the same when people divide a church. When one person wants to split a church, he just doesn't do it on his own. He begins to get a crowd to go with him. And how does he do that? He goes round different people and begins to, one, plant doubt in people's mind about the minister or the preacher. You know, the minister is this, and you really know how to listen to that, or different things, and turn people against the minister or against the preaching of God's word in that particular house. Oh, do you know where they preach that? Do you know what? Listen, go somewhere else and listen. And that's what happens. And that person gets one person, and then gets another person, and then another person, and leads a revolt. And I could take you to churches where there's been 400 and been brought down to less than 50 people in all the case. And so that's the whole point here. Absalom, what he's doing, he wants his father's throne, but he needs a following. He needs a group. And so he begins, and the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 16, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. They began to follow after Absalom. Absalom had done everything in his power to destroy his own father, even resulting in Absalom's own death. But here's the point. No matter how Absalom, many times he rebelled, or how heartbreaking it was to David to have his own son rebel against him, David still loved his own son and still pleaded with Absalom not to go down this route. Again, we learn in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33, and chapter 19, verses 1 to 4, that whenever David heard that Absalom, his son, had died, he went up to his chamber over the gate and wept and cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. And so the whole rebellion of David's son against him, it took a lot out of him. It drained him. It weakened him. His heart was overwhelmed. And therefore, based on that situation, he comes to God in prayer through the whole situation. Lord, be attentive to my cry when my heart is overwhelmed. lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This psalm starts with a parent's broken heart, but ends with a song of praise. Because David teaches us in our Christian life, the Lord is our rock. He is our salvation and he is our strong. He's the one who draws near in a time of need. And so the message today is Christ for the overwhelmed. Notice first of all, the condition of the overwhelmed. With all that has taken place, David has had to leave Jerusalem with his son's rebellion. To David, this is a great time of trouble. He's been driven away from God's house, driven away from Jerusalem. And that's where he says to the ends of the earth. He's been driven away into exile. And David finds himself in a low place, a challenging place, a heartbreaking place, where he cries out, "My heart is overwhelmed." That word that you have before you in the Bible, overwhelmed, it's a strong word. It means to turn about. It translates as feeling or weak or faint. It also means to cover. And so the word is used in Psalm 78, verse 53, where David speaks of the covering of my heart. And the whole point of this word is this. The sorrows, the trouble, the heartbreak has covered and come upon the heart and has sapped strength away. David is fainting by the situation that he is. He has been left weak. And so we could read these words. My heart is in anguish. My heart is in heaviness. My heart is sinking. My heart is tossed about. My heart is covered over with grief. My heart is covered over with sorrow. The word pictures one again in the ocean. David pictures himself as if he was in the ocean where the waves crash against him. When my heart is overwhelmed. Again, that's the picture. You again take the picture of going down to the beach, going down to the seashore. And as you go into the water and the waves crash up, what do? The waves come strong against you and they brush upon you or they throw you back a bit. It tosses you a bit over with the waves. They're so strong. And David says, when my heart is weak, fainting, perplexed, tossed about, overwhelmed, covered with sorrow, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. His own son had rebelled against him. His own family had turned on him. So Absalom wanted his father out of the picture. And so what you have before you in this background is a family issue, a family burden, a family trial. This is something that impacts, yes, individually, a father's heartbreak for his son, but ultimately it's a family issue. There's trouble in the family. There's a situation in the family that causes one to be in great heartbreak and great distress. Among God's people, not all may have the exact same situation as David, as a son in rebellion. Some do, and you're overwhelmed by that. And therefore you cry, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You still love your son or your daughter, and you pray for them, and pray God will restore them. And it breaks your heart to see how they have gone the way they have. But nonetheless, there's also many with a trial like David, and you feel like David in your trial, in your situation. You feel overwhelmed. You feel tossed about. It's a family situation. It's a heartbreaking situation for you. It may be bereavement. It may be financial worry. Maybe pressure at work, worry in the home, a change in circumstances, a different situation completely. But whatever it is, you have to say, Lord, my heart is overwhelmed. I feel weak. I feel fainted by it. The sorrow has come upon me. And you have to say, this is new territory. Oh yes, how many times you've heard these similar situations about other families, and you've read maybe biographies or different accounts of other people, maybe in certain situations where their heart is breaking. It's a challenging situation. It's a situation that affects the family, and you, your heart goes out to them, and you pray for them, and you're concerned for them. But at the same time, you don't expect it to come anywhere near you. But the time now has come where it is on your doorstep. And you're now in that situation, and you are now brokenhearted. You are now overwhelmed like David. And therefore, what is the answer? It is getting to prayer. Lord, be attentive to my cry. That's what David starts this psalm off with. Prayer. And therefore, get to prayer. Prayer is not the last resort. It's not when anything else has gone to the end. Rather, it's the first thing, getting to the throne of God in prayer. David was overwhelmed. Again, throughout his life, one trial after another, Saul hunted him. His own counselor, Ahithophel, turned against him. Just think about that. One who he confided in, one who he trusted in, turned against him. That ought to be heartbreaking for any. Again, Goliath wanted to kill him. The men at Ziklag, his own soldiers, wanted to stone him. So one situation after another. And therefore, David says, when my heart, not if, but when my heart is overwhelmed, covered with sorrow, distress, tossed to and fro, lead me to the rock, lead me to my Savior. When I feel as I do right now, lead me to my Savior. And therefore, maybe you're there right now. Maybe that's your challenging situation. Whatever that may be, you know how to apply this to your own life, whatever you are going through. But at such times, you're praying, Lord, lead me to my Savior. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul said about those going through trials and troubles, for our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And the phrase, worketh for us, means to labor. It means to be involved in something. And the whole point is this, it's for an end in view. There's a goal in view. And so God is working in your life, and he will continue to work in your life until he calls you home. The situation that causes your heart to be overwhelmed is not brought by chance or accident, but through the counsel of him who worketh all things well. When overwhelmed, we are brought to see, like Job, that God is working for me. Again, Job 5, verse 8 and 9. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Now, there are times trials do come upon us because of our own sin, because of our own backslidings. Yes, there are the trials that God permits in our life to test us, to mold us, to shape us. But there are times God sends us trials to draw us back to himself. If you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying, if you're not living for God, then you will expect a trial to come. And that's why David at times said in Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And so through that time, God drew David back to himself. So that's the condition of the overwhelmed. One who is overwhelmed, covered with sorrow, under great distress, tossed to and fro. But notice secondly, the cry of the overwhelmed. When David was covered with anxieties, the troubles of his heart, he cried, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. And that word cry that David mentions, when I cry unto thee, it's a word that means a cry in great distress. This is not just a simple cry. This is one that is crying out in great need. I need this to be sorted out. I need help. I need intervention. This is earnest. This is fervency. This is, Lord, I can't do anything else but cry unto you for this situation. He needs to hear from God. Attend unto my prayer. That's a good prayer to pray, young people, men and women. Attend unto my prayer. Lord, be attentive. Listen to my prayer. Hear my prayer, Lord, because I'm coming to you in this situation. Without you, I can do nothing. In this situation, we need you. All men will feel the help of anybody else is not sufficient. But Lord, you alone are able to give help. David, he pours his whole heart before God. David's cut off from the house of God. He's cut off from others. He's separated from Jerusalem. But there's none who can cut him off from the presence of God. For the Lord draws near in a time of need. David, his heart is sinking. He's full of sorrow. He's exhausted. He's drained. He's overwhelmed. He feels his feebleness, his weakness. And yet he prays for divine assistance. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. These words mean, lead me up upon a rock that is too high for me to reach by my own efforts. In other words, in my weakness, I have no energy myself. And left to myself, I would remain in my burdens. Left to myself, I would give up. Left to myself, I would just remain cast down and low because my heart is overwhelmed. The sorrows have covered my heart. They've taken over my life. I'm burdened. I'm perplexed. Therefore, Lord, you lead me. Lord, you bring me. Lord, you help me. Draw me to my Savior. Unsaved one in the meeting. You cannot come to Christ in your own strength or in your own merit. You cannot save yourself. You are spiritually helpless, spiritually hopeless, sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. And therefore for you to come upon the rock of salvation, you cannot get there yourself. You need the power of God applied to your heart. You need the saving grace of God, because if God does not reach out and save you and call you to himself and draw you to Christ, you will remain lost in your sin because you're dead in trespasses and in sin, and you've no desire for God. You've no interest to get out of your sin because you love your sin, the pleasures of your sin. And therefore you need the power of God to come and to speak with that voice that wakes the dead and wake you up out of your sin and to bring you to his marvelous self. And therefore, no man, as the Savior said, can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of the church. It's not off the preacher. It's not off yourself. It's not off your feelings. It's not getting up one day, I feel saved today because today is a good day. No, salvation rests in faith in Christ. And you cannot save yourself, forgive yourself. Left to yourself, you will go back to your sin. And therefore, you need the grace of God to pull you out of your sin and to save your soul. Notice finally, the comfort of the overwhelmed. David said in his prayer, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David speaks of his Savior as illustrated by the rock. Now obviously the Lord is not a rock. He's not a stone in a sense that we pray to as in false idols. That's what they do, false religions. They get these stones and they pray to. But what David is doing, this is imagery. And he's taking what a rock means. You think of a rock. A rock is strong, it's stable, it doesn't move, and as the waves crash against it, it bears those waves. It doesn't fall apart. And so David's point is this: the Lord is my rock. He's the rock of my salvation. He is immovable. He is ever present. He can never be conquered. He can never be overthrown. From generation to generation, he is like that unmovable rock. He's a present help in trouble. He stands high above the storms of life. He is safe, secure. He is steadfast. He is a safe place, a haven of rest. The words higher than I mean to lift up. And therefore, David pictures this. My heart is overwhelmed. I'm downcast. I'm low as I've ever been. Lord, pick me up. Lift me up. Bring me up to my Savior. Lead me to Him, because in Him there's refuge, there's strength, there's safety. In Him, the enemy cannot reach me. In Him, the troubles of life I can view by His presence and by His grace. And so there is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, as verse 3, Thou hast been a shelter for me. Again, verse 4, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. The word covered there in verse 4, it means covering over. And the picture there is of the hen protecting or covering her chicks. And you've ever seen that picture before, as you've been to maybe a farm where you see hens or ducks even, whatever you want to mention. And whenever danger approaches, they get their wee wings out there flapping and they put them over like that. I said I was watching one day, I like my wildlife programs, I hope you like wildlife as well, and all the rest. And there was this snake, I think it was a cobra or whatever it was, and it was coming to eat the wee chicks. And this hen put her chicks under her wings like this. And when the snake came, started jumping up, doing all this stuff, and to chase the snake away. And the hen succeeded, which is amazing. And therefore, here's the whole point. When we come to Christ, we are drawn, He protects us. He puts His loving arms around us. He surrounds us. Just as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people. And therefore, that's the picture, as David says, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I will trust in your surrounding protection. I will trust in your care. You'll gather me to yourself. You'll draw me to yourself. Because Christ loves and supports His people. And therefore, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me, lift me up. When I'm downcast, lift me up. When I feel I can't get on any longer, lift me up. Don't you see that as well in football matches? Whenever the players have got beat and they fall to the ground, they're downcast, they're brokenhearted, maybe it's a final, and they realize they've lost. And what happens? Someone comes up and just get up, lift them up like that there. Come on, come on, come on, next time. And that's what it is. We're downcast. The Lord comes by His power, by His presence, and lifts us up, draws us to Himself. Why is that? So we will continue on serving Him, and that we will be that help to other people and share the message of the gospel. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul said, of the God who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. When the Lord is that comfort to you and He helps you, then you be that help to other people. Because that's what David is doing for us. He's been there. He's been lifted up. He's been helped. And now He's showing us what to do when you are overwhelmed by the troubles of life. Pray. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me, lift me up to my Savior. Because in Him there's safety, there's protection, there's security, there's care, there's love, there's all I need found in Him. He is the rock that is higher than I. Unsaved one this day, you need to be drawn to the Savior, the rock of salvation. You trust in Christ. You have full pardon of sin. You can never lose salvation. But when you trust in Him, you are fully forgiven of all your sin. Believer today, what overwhelms you? What is the trouble of your heart? What worries you? What concerns you? Pray, Lord, be attentive to my cry. Lift me up. Lead me to my Savior. Because in all situations and in every circumstance, He is always the answer. And He always will be the answer. And therefore, pray this day that when your heart is overwhelmed, you'll be drawn to the Savior for his name's sake.